Patriots, countrymen,
countrywomen,
country peoples,
hear ye, hear ye. As you walk with us, do remember to keep one earbud in while you are walking.
You must be on the alert at all times.
Redcoats around every corner. One must not stray from the group.
Avoid capture at all costs.
You know, before we speak of the tragedy of the Boston Massacre and the heroic acts of the Boston Tea Party, I feel we owe our fellow patriots a quick lesson in saying no, in case some British soldiers attempt to turn them against the cause of the revolution.
Are you two going to pretend to be revolutionary soldiers for the whole walk?
Maybe.
I was wondering how long I could do that before it got annoying.
Not too long, apparently. Maybe we should save that bit for the end.
Not a bad idea. I'm looking forward to talking about the Boston Massacre and the events that led to the Boston Tea Party. But before we do, I think we should talk about how to avoid peer pressure. It's not easy, and sometimes it's easier to get caught up in doing something that you shouldn't be doing than it is to walk away.
I think it's easiest to say no to something that you don't want to do, and you know you probably shouldn't do, when you have friends, even one, that will back you up.
And if one no doesn't work, keep resisting. There are a lot of ways to say no.
Nah.
I don't think so.
I'll pass.
I refuse in the name of my honor and country. Give me liberty or give me death.
Too much.
Sorry.
Peer pressure is really difficult to deal with. Sometimes kids try to pressure their friends into doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, one time my friend dared me to eat a dead bug. He said he'd give me a dollar.
Gross. Did you do it?
You'd have to pay me a lot more than a dollar. I was like, no way, that's disgusting. You eat it and keep the dollar.
Good for you, Ellie. Sometimes peer pressure isn't just kids trying to get other kids to do dumb stuff like eating dead bugs. Sometimes kids get peer pressured into really bad things, like doing drugs or stealing.
Probably the easiest way to avoid peer pressure is to avoid hanging out with people that do things you don't want to do.
Though, it's hard to say no to your friends.
Well, you know what, Caden? I guarantee it's easier to say no than it is to deal with the consequences of getting peer pressured into doing drugs or something else illegal or just stupid. If you have a bad feeling about something, like if your friend tells you to write on a wall or to steal something or to try drugs or alcohol, first of all, that person is not a friend to begin with. Friends don't try to hurt or to get other friends in trouble. And secondly, if you have a bad feeling about whatever it might be that you're being pressured to do, saying no shows a heck of a lot more courage than doing something stupid. Saying no might make you feel uncomfortable for a short amount of time, but doing something stupid can have bad consequences that last a long, long time.
Just ask the people in the Boston Massacre.
You can't. They're all dead.
I thought only 5 people were killed in the Boston Massacre.
Yeah, but they're dead now. Otherwise, they'd be over 240 years old.
Oh, right.
The year was 1770. The British government and the American colonies had not had a good relationship for many years.
Huh. Can we back up a little bit more and provide some more background?
Sure, Miss Fenn. So, before America was its own country, it was part of Great Britain, or England. Obviously, it wasn't part of England. It was a separate landmass across the Atlantic Ocean. But in the late 1500s, England sent people across the ocean to start colonies, which are sort of like states. They were sort of owned by England.
Right. Great Britain started sending people to America to start colonies about 100 years after Christopher Columbus landed in the New World. Great Britain wanted to expand its power and own land all over the world.
So, after another 100 years, there were several British colonies in America along the East Coast. Virginia, New York, Massachusetts were all British colonies before they became part of the United States of America, when America became its own country in 1776. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, so let's back up a bit.
Okay, so back to the Boston Massacre. Several years before the Boston Massacre, there was a big war called the French and Indian War that was fought between the French colonies and the English colonies here in America. France also wanted to expand its reach and own more land around the world, so France had established colonies in America as well. After a while, the British colonists went to war with the French colonists. They both wanted the American land for themselves.
Like most wars, it had cost a lot of money. And once it was over and the British had won, the British government had to figure out a way to pay for it.
The British government felt that since the French and Indian War was really helpful to the colonists should be the ones to help pay for the war with new taxes.
Unfair. The war was helpful to the colonists because before the war, France controlled most of what we now call Canada. But after the war, Canada was given to the British. This meant that the colonists had more land available to settle in. The British government had to tax the colonists to make back the money that they had spent defending the colonists. To help raise money, in 1765, the British government passed a law called the Stamp Act.
The Stamp Act made it so that anything printed in the colonies, like newspapers, legal documents like birth certificates, or magazines, had to be printed on special stamped paper that was produced in England. The colonists were not allowed to print anything on paper that they had made themselves in America.
The Stamp Act was really unpopular with the American colonists. The colonists didn't have any representatives in the British Parliament to speak for them. The British Parliament is where the laws were made. And the colonists felt that it was unfair to have new taxes put on them without having a chance to have a say in how the law was written and enforced.
The British Constitution said that British subjects, which would be anyone living in Great Britain or one of its colonies, like the Americas, could not be taxed unless they agree to it.
The colonies, though, didn't have representatives in the Parliament, so they didn't really agree to the new taxes. And so the colonists felt that the new taxes were illegal according to the British Constitution.
The Stamp Act was so unpopular that it was repealed a year later. Repealed as in they got rid of it.
But the British government still needed money, so they kept putting new taxes on the colonists, even after the unpopular and failed Stamp Act.
The British government didn't really get why the Stamp Act was unpopular. They didn't really understand the colonists' beef with that tax.
The British thought because it was a tax on paper made in Britain, the colonists were mad about having to pay a tax on something made in Britain. But they would be okay having to pay higher taxes on stuff brought in from other countries.
So then, the Parliament passed new laws that put higher taxes on stuff brought in from other countries, like tea from India.
You know, that was not the colonists' frustration with the taxes, though. It didn't matter if it was a tax on something made in Britain or something made in China or something made on their doorstep. The problem was that the colonists were being taxed without anyone in Parliament to represent them. The colonists did not have anybody in Parliament that could stand up for their rights. So from all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, the British Parliament kept taxing the American colonists, and the American colonists got angrier and angrier. Outrage against these taxes spread throughout the colonies, and in 1768, the British government had to send British soldiers over to keep people from rioting in some of the larger American cities.
The people in Boston were pretty fed up with the British troops being in their city. There were lots of protests against the British government.
One night in February 1770, a crowd gathered around the house of a customs official.
Customs officials are officers that work at the ship docks, inspecting the stuff that ships bring in to sell.
Good catch. Anyway, this customs official had tried to break up a protest the day before, and this crowd had gathered at his house to get back at him. They started throwing rocks and things at his house, and the customs official fired a shot into the crowd to scare them away.
Unfortunately, he shot an 11-year-old kid and killed him.
This was big news, and it made a lot of people really angry. Over 2,000 people attended the child's funeral, and the newspapers ran articles about how awful the British were, how they were killing 11-year-old kids, and stuff like that.
After the boy's funeral, everybody in Boston was on edge. People seemed to be looking for a fight. Colonists would harass the British soldiers, and the British soldiers would look for reasons to arrest the colonists.
On March 5th, 1770, a couple of people gathered around a British soldier, Captain Thomas Preston. The colonists started throwing stuff at him. Snowballs, stones, sticks, those sorts of things. Soon, a bunch of people, like 50, joined in.
Captain Thomas Preston called in a few soldiers for backup, but the colonist mob kept on throwing things at them. One of the British soldiers got hit with something that was thrown by a colonist, lost his temper, and fired his gun into the crowd.
Then the other soldiers joined in, killing 3 colonists on the spot and wounding 8 others. 2 of the wounded died shortly after.
This, of course, caused a huge uproar among the people of Boston. Captain Preston and the other British soldiers were tried for murder. Two of the soldiers were found guilty. Three of the soldiers, including Captain Preston, were acquitted and released.
And acquitted means found not guilty.
The American people started calling the event the Boston Massacre, and the American patriots, the ones who wanted to make America its own country, told lots and lots of people about the massacre so they would get angry and turn against the British.
Some American people really didn't mind the fact that they lived in America but were ruled and taxed by the British. But once the news of the Boston Massacre started to spread, many people became very angry with the British and started to support the Patriots, who wanted to break away from England.
It's important to remember that since there were no videos or photographs back then, the American or the Patriot newspapers that were run by people in favor of independence from the British, they were able to really skew the events leading up to the massacre. Instead of actual pictures from the scene to show people what happened, pictures were drawn that really exaggerated and stretched the truth.
In fact, there's a famous drawing of the Boston Massacre by Paul Revere that was printed and distributed a few days after the event.
It shows a squad of five soldiers standing in a line, all firing at once, on what looks to be an unarmed, defenseless crowd of colonists.
And at the time, this is what people really thought happened. However, eyewitness accounts from the trial tell a different story, that the crowd of colonists was throwing things at the soldiers, and the soldiers were firing to defend themselves.
But since there was no video or actual photographs of the event, it was the word of the armed British soldiers against the word of the colonists.
Paul Revere's drawing and the wide distribution of it was really important in turning public opinion against the British. Not long after the event, the royal governor pulled the British troops out of Boston. Then the call for revolution or major change became much stronger among the patriots after the massacre.
The colonists who had been killed became symbols for how the British were oppressing the colonies.
Caden, maybe you should explain what you mean by that.
Well, people didn't wear t-shirts back then, but if they did, there would probably be a t-shirt with the faces of the five colonists who were killed, and underneath their faces, and it would say something like, "Remember the Boston Massacre," and then a really mean picture of a British soldier holding a gun or something.
Anyway, the Boston Massacre victims really became an inspiration for many patriots to begin working toward independence from the British.
You know, many people have heard of the Boston Massacre before, but many times people don't really know everything that led up to it. When I learned about it in school when I was young, it seemed like it all just sort of happened, out of the blue. But clearly it happened because of all of these events that built up to it.
Like how rubber bands don't usually just snap and break for no reason. They break when you pull them too much and there's too much tension.
Great analogy, Ellie. Let's do a quick review of the events that led up to the Boston Massacre.
Sure, Miss Fenn. The British and the American colonists got into a war with France and the Native American tribes. This was a really expensive war.
The British and American colonists won, but it cost a lot of money to win. The British put taxes on the colonists to help pay for the war.
The colonists didn't have a representative in the Parliament, so they thought the Parliament had no right to tax them.
Parliament continued to tax the colonists against their will, and the bad feelings about the taxes turned violent.
British soldiers were stationed in the big cities to keep things under control.
Putting soldiers in the cities only made it worse. Soldiers and colonists got into fights.
One night, a group of colonists gathered around the house of a British customs worker that tried to break up a protest, and the customs worker fired into the crowd to scare them off.
He accidentally hit an 11-year-old kid who died from the gunshot.
This made the tension between the colonists and the soldiers even worse.
One day, not long after, a small crowd gathered around a British soldier and started throwing stuff at him. He called in a few other soldiers to back him up, and one shot into the crowd. That caused some of the other soldiers to fire into the crowd, killing five colonists.
This was called the Boston Massacre, and it was one of the big events that led up to the American Revolution.
Next time, we're going to talk about what happened after the Boston Massacre, and we'll figure out how the Boston Massacre led to one of the other big events leading up to the American Revolution, the Boston Tea Party.
Students, as you head back to class, review the events that led up to the Boston Massacre with a partner, and share any experiences that you may have had when an event was exaggerated. Thanks again for joining us. As always,
happy trails!